Just before our sister comes to bring a word of testimony, I wonder, could we turn in our Bibles to the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 2, and we're going to read from the first verse. Ephesians, chapter 2, and beginning our reading at verse 1. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and reading from verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us, through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, were called on circumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And we'll end our reading there, knowing that the Lord will add his infallible blessing to the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts for his name's sake. And we welcome our sister Kate along in our Savior's precious name. We're very glad to have our sister to come and bring a word of testimony tonight, and we're looking forward to hearing that testimony. So we're going to ask our sister just come now and bring that word of testimony to her heart.
Well, I'm very conscious tonight that I'm only a sinner saved by grace. And tonight I'm very careful to give God all the glory and all the honour. I don't find this very easy. No matter how often I give my testimony, it doesn't get any easier. and I always find it very hard to start as well. But I always find the best place to start is at the beginning. It's over 40 years. This last wee while when I've been giving my testimony, I've been telling people that it's 42 years from I came to know the Lord. And today I was sitting reading and I was counting up, and it's over 44 years from I came to know the Lord. When you get a wee bit older, the years, you get kind of mixed up with the years, you know. So it's over 44 years from I came to know Christ as my own and personal Saviour. I was brought up as a Roman Catholic. Brought up in a good Roman Catholic home where our religion was honoured. I was brought along to the Sacred Heart of Mary Convent in Lisburn. I always remember the very first day that I started school, my mother taking me by the hand, and There was a big green door. I'll always remember that big green door, because when that door opened, I almost died at my first sight of a nun. This big black and white figure stood in the middle of the doorway. I didn't get time, or my mother didn't even get time to say cheerio. I was pushed in. The nun put her hand on the back of my head and gave me a slight push in front of her and slammed the door behind her. And I was a very frightened wee girl. But you know, when the years went on, I began to love the nuns. I made my first Holy Communion at the age of 7. I was confirmed when I was 13. And I left school at the age of 15. And although I remember the very first day I started school, I also remember the very last day I was at school. And there was about 6 of us that day left at the same time. And it was always a custom when you left school that the head nun took you aside and what she called a wee pet talk. And I can remember taking the 6 of us to the wee side room. It wasn't even a room, it was where we all hung our coats up, and if it was a wet day we would sit and had our lunch on the bench. Well, she lined us 6 up on this bench in front of her and gave us the wee pet talk. And this wee pet talk was, she told us that never to forget who we were, and always to remember that first and foremost we were Catholics, and never to forget that, and to hold your head up and be proud of it. And you know, that day I left school determined that I would do just that. I started working in a Lisburn weaving factory. I was only a weaver. I didn't amount to much as far as education and went. I was just a weaver. And that's where I met my husband, Joe. And I always like to say that this is where the wee love story starts, because Joe and I started keeping company. Joe being a Protestant and I was a Roman Catholic. And way back over 40 years ago, you just didn't do that. You didn't keep company with the opposite religion. And you know, this was something else that the wee pet talk the day we left school told us, that we were not to keep company with the opposite religion, because we were told that this was wrong. That was one part of the wee pet talk I was quite happy to forget about. It was one afternoon that Joe was serving his time as a tenter, and the next machines to me, the lady that worked there, her machines broke down, and Joe was asked to come and have a look at them and fix them. Now, this lady knew and loved the Lord as her own and personal Saviour. And that afternoon, she took the opportunity of witnessing to Joe, and also to give him a wee word of warning about keeping company with a Roman Catholic. And she dared him that afternoon to give me a gospel tract. And this tract was about a Roman Catholic bishop who had came to know and love the Lord as his own and personal Saviour. Joe, I can remember him, I can just see him to this day coming into where I was working, and put his hand in his pocket and produced this tract and asked me if I would read this wee leaflet. I knew right away what it was about. And right away the wee pet talk came back into my mind, because this was another thing that we were told, that we were never to receive literature of this sort because we were told it would damage our souls. And you know, Joe asked me to take it and read it. I don't know why I took it, because I had no intentions of reading it. But you know, when you're sweet on somebody, you'll do anything for them. And I took the tract off Joe, still no intentions of reading this tract. I put it into my bag. Now, the bag that I put it into was what we called a waste bag. And at the end of your machine, the waste yarn that you pulled off your bobbins at the end of when the bobbin run out, you put this waste yarn into this wee bag. And at the end of the day, a man came round and lifted all the waste and you emptied your bag into his big sack. And in this wee bag, he kept a whole lot of wee things that they didn't want people to know about. and this is where I put the tract into this wee bag. Still no intentions of reading it. And the only reason why I didn't tear it up was because Joe had asked me to give it back again, because he didn't tell me who gave it to him, but I knew who gave it to him. He said that they wanted it back again. And I think this was one way of getting me to read the tract. At the end of the day, when the wee man came round for to empty the waste bag, I tipped the bag out and the tract fell out, and I lifted it and put it into my own bag that I took to work with me. Don't know why I done it. I could have put it back into the waste bag again, but it ended up in my bag anyway. And on my way home, I used to ride a bicycle to work, and on my way home, all I could think of was this tract in my bag. And I knew as soon as I went in, I'd have to get it hid, because my mother always made up lunches at night, and she used to put the lunch into your bag at night. And you know, I always say that she was just like any other mother, because my mother always had a wee plunder in your bag. And I knew as soon as I went in, I'd have to get this bag out, this tract out of my bag, and get it hid. And when I went in, I'd already planned where I would hide it. And I went up into my own room. I was the only girl among four boys. And I went up into my own room. And away back 40 years ago, there was no such thing as wall-to-wall carpet. It was wall-to-wall lino. I don't know if you know what lino is. Some people called it oilcloth. But it was wall-to-wall lino we had. And I can remember having to go to the skirting board and pick the lino from under the skirting board where it was tucked in under the skirting board. And I had to pick and pick to get the lino lifted, and I tucked the tract in and under the lino. I knew nobody would ever know it was there. Nobody would ever think of going to there for to look for anything. Still no intentions of reading this tract. That night I went to bed, and I just couldn't sleep that night. I knew this tract was under this lino. I knew that nobody knew it was there. And I found myself getting out of bed and taking the tract from under the lino. Got back into bed again, and in our house you didn't get to waste anything. And that included the electric light. You weren't allowed to burn the electric light late at night. And I knew I couldn't keep the light lit for to read this tract, because somebody would come in to find out why I had the light on, and I would be caught on with this tract in bed. And in those days, we didn't have very much in the way of, we weren't a very well off family. And I used to, when I was young, would have loved a bedside lamp. And I can remember making my own. I had a wooden, our house was full of candlesticks. But I can remember having this wooden candlestick beside the bed and put the bicycle lamp on top of the wooden candlestick and put a wee lampshade on top of it. And that was my wee lamp, bedside lamp. And, you know, I used to love to go out. I would put it up against the window and I would go outside and look up at the window and I have this light lit and I used to say, oh, that is lovely. I used to stand outside and look up at this lamp lit and used to think it was lovely. But however, I took the bicycle lamp in under the blankets. And there must have been about 6 blankets on the bed, maybe 2 quilts as well. And the weight was very heavy and it was very hard to breathe in under the blankets. But that's where I started to read the tract. I always remember the very first time I read it. And you know, this is the sad part. You know, I didn't understand it. Not one word of it. Because you see, I never once heard that I needed to be born again. I didn't know that I needed to be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. You know, I don't think I slept a wink that night. You know, the nights went on. Every night I took the track from under the lino and tried to find out what this bishop was talking about, this peace of heart that he had found in Jesus Christ. The weeks went on and the months went on. And I went to the lady that had passed on the tract. And I started to ask questions about it. You know, in a very simple way, she told me how she found Christ as her Saviour. But you know, there was something about this woman. This woman lived a life. You know, I know everybody comes to the Lord in different ways. Some people find it very easy. There are others who struggle and find it very hard. I went through weeks of torture. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I was afraid to sleep. But knowing what I know now, it was conviction that was wrong with me. And you know, conviction is not a very nice thing. The lady that had passed on the tract had persuaded Joe for to go to a gospel meeting in the CWU in Lisburn. And I had to meet him coming out of that meeting. But that night I went determined that I would ask Joe what I would have to do to get saved. You know, Joe and I used to argue about religion, about who was right and who was wrong. we used to have some fair old arguments about it, and sometimes I used to think I got my point over. It took a lot of courage for me to ask Joe what I'd have to do to get saved. But you know, he knew that night he was in no state for to tell me how to come to know Christ. Because up until then, he hadn't taken that step himself. He knew the way. He was brought up in a partly Christian home. And he knew from a very early age the way of salvation. But what I didn't know was that that night, I could have done it there and then. But I thought I had to be home in my own bedroom and on my own, on my knees. And I thought that that's where it had to happen. You know, I couldn't wait till I got home that night. And it was in my own bedroom. A young teenager. I got down on my knees and before God, I made a confession that night. I asked God to forgive me. Come into my life and to wash me in the precious blood. You know, there was no big flash or there was no loud voice. It was very silent. Something happens at night. And until the day God comes or calls, I'll never forget it. You know, when you've been to Jesus, there has to be a change. That night there was a change in my life. As I said, it's over 44 years. And the road has not been easy. Three months after I got saved, one Friday night, on my way home from work. As usual, I parked the bicycle under the window round the back of the house and opened the kitchen door, and I saw every wall in the kitchen that night. My head got banged off every wall in it. I finally got stood on my feet. My father and my mother and my four brothers were all standing in the kitchen. You know, when I got saved, I didn't have much of this old world to give up because I didn't indulge in much in it. I didn't smoke or drink or anything like that. But you know, that night, for the first time I realized that I was going to have to give something up that was precious to me. I knew if I wanted to keep Christ as my Savior, God was asking me to give something up. When I could finally stood to my feet. My mother asked me if I had got saved. You know, that night I realized how much I loved my mother. I never forget the look on her face. The tears rolling down her cheeks. And I said, yes, I got saved. I thank God tonight that He gave me the courage to say yes. It wasn't easy. Made my way up the stairs. My mother ran up behind me. I was always accustomed to keep a bottle of holy water. And my mother had a lemonade bottle full. And when she pushed into the bedroom, she took the top off it and threw it all around me. She also had a statue of what we called Our Lady of Lourdes in her hand, and it was made of chalk, and she hit me over the head with it. There was an awful commotion that night in the house. My mother went down the stairs and I came down behind her. I knew that night I was going to have to leave home. I wanted to keep Christ as my Saviour. When I got to the bottom of the stairs, my father and my eldest brother were standing at the bottom of the stairs and my mother hit me. Don't know what she hit me with. But when I came to, there was blood everywhere. My mother had tore up bits of sheets and towels for to try and get it all cleaned up. I didn't even know where it was coming from myself. And at the bottom of the stairs, the bathroom was just at the very bottom of the stairs. And I pushed my way into the bathroom because it was the only door in the house that had a lock on it. Locked the door, and because it was on the ground floor, I thought I could get through the bathroom window and away. But my eldest brother, when I opened the window, was sitting in the garden waiting on me. He must have known that's what I was going to do. I came back in again, sat in the end of the bath. Never forget it. I prayed like I never prayed before. So my mother was banging and thumping at the door, shouting, and there was just an awful commotion outside the bathroom door. And I thought I'd open the door, and I was opening it, my mother was pushing. And I opened the door and she pushed, and just accidentally pushed me into the bath. And my head hit the water top of the bath. And I can remember the power leaving my arms that night. I didn't even have the strength to push her away. She was just so angry. She had lifted a razor blade off the bathroom window. And the only thing I believed that night that made her stop from cutting my throat with a razor blade was the knocking at the front door. And when the door was opened, our doctor had been sent for, and he had arrived, and I was pushed into the front room where he was. I told my father to roll up my sleeve. See, my father had already signed papers to have me certified insane. I was standing beside a cabinet with another vase sitting on it. And I lifted it down and I told the doctor if he'd come near me, I would hit him with it. I'd got myself in such a state. I think I would have hit him with it. He stepped back and he looked at my father and he said, "I'm sorry, I can't do this. Because if something happened here and this needle broke in her arm, I would get into trouble if they found out what was in this." I left home that night. Over 40 years ago. Joe and I married about 2 years later. And accidentally, the night that I gave my life to the Lord, Joe went home that night and did exactly the same. You know, we had 2 children. The Lord blessed us with 2 lovely children. And I can remember the night that they responded to an appeal in a meeting just like this. And I was asked to go into the prayer room where the preacher pointed them both to the Lord. What a privilege. You know, you're privileged tonight to be sitting where you're sitting onto the sound of the gospel. It was one afternoon. My children were quite small. And a lady, an old neighbour of my mother's, came to the door. She said, "I've just come to tell you that your mother's very ill. and in hospital. She's been given the last rites. I made my way to the hospital. She was in a wee side room of her own. I remember going in and sitting on the end of the bed. I held her hand. You know, she didn't have much breath. Pulled her hand away, propped herself up. And all she could say, if I had a gun, I'd shoot you. Oh, yous are privileged tonight. Don't ever forget that. But if you're here tonight, you don't know Christ as your Saviour, I pray that before you leave this building tonight, you'll make your peace with God. You know, if I could do it for you, I'd do it. But if you do it tonight, one thing that I can assure you of, that you will not forget it, you'll not regret it, and you won't forget it either. And I just pray tonight that if you don't know Christ as your own personal Saviour, that this will be the night that you make your peace with God, that you do so.